Well, good morning, Calvary Chapel. God bless you guys. And we are so excited to be with you this morning. As promised last week, we told you that we'd be coming to you from Israel. And before we get into the message this morning, we want to encourage you. The greatest season of the year is coming up. When you and I get back together again personally, that's going to be on Palm Sunday. So that's very, very close. Palm Sunday service, and then, of course, Resurrection morning as we gather together. And this is the greatest opportunity for you to invite your neighbors, your friends, and family to church. Invite them. In fact, you'll be hearing a little bit more in the message today why it is so vitally important that more than ever you share the love of God with your friends and family because of all that's going on in the world. And you're going to hear about what's not only taking place in the world, but what took place here and what's going to take place here. So let's just pray right now together first. Father, we ask you to bless this study. And Lord, just span the gap between us here in Israel and the church back home, nearly 9,000 miles, Father. But you bring us together with this modern day technology. It is truly amazing. And we pray that we would be, as it were, one set of ears, one set of hands and feet to hear your word and to do it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And this morning we're going to be looking at what we're just going to entitle Epicenter. Epicenter. When we talk about epicenter or the epicenter, for us in Southern California, it immediately goes to what it should go to. And that is the thought and the understanding of earthquake, of danger, of something suddenly happening that shaped the course of history. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is right here, the epicenter is Israel. And I'm standing in Israel. Israel is the epicenter regarding the scriptures, regarding today, regarding the future. And right here where we're at, Elijah, the great prophet of God. In fact, if you just look with me, as I point out, right behind me, Elijah on that mountaintop in 1 Kings chapter 18 exposed false religion. He exposed false religion and the religions that were culminated and gathered together in what was ancient Babylonian worship. And none of that's changed. It's still the same today. We may look a little different in how we dress, but the fact of the matter is, right here on that mountaintop, and as we shall see in this valley, Elijah the prophet exposed in 1 Kings chapter 18 false religion. And it's important to us. Let me read it to you, and you can follow along with me. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Listen carefully. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter or stutter between two opinions? If the Lord, notice in your Bible, it's capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, the very name of God, Yah. How long will you falter before Yah, who is God, and Baal? Baal represented all the Babylonian gods of Babylonian worship system. Today, it's the same. How long will you falter between the opinion that you have regarding Yahweh, Yah, of the Bible, or Baal, or Allah, of the God that is expanding within the world that you and I live in? It all comes down to two representative gods, one that's real and one that's false. Notice, you'll hear from the Word of God today about what the true God of the Bible has to say. And on that mountaintop, Elijah stood alone with a total of 850 prophets, but the prophets of Baal represented 450 of them. They were right there on that mountain encountering or challenging the God of Israel. Church, that's going on today. People are challenging not only Israel, God's word, but when they do that, they're taking on the God of heaven and earth. And it's amazing to me that you and I are standing right here, right now together, and we're in the place where in days gone by, in millennia long ago, the very God of Israel was challenged. but it was all about the future. And that is a spectacular thing to consider. So listen to what happened here. 1 Kings 18:22, then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left of the prophets of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, notice plural, your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, singular. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, that's well spoken. We agree, Elijah. That's cool. We'll do it. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call in the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull, which was given to them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till evening, saying, Baal, hear us. But there was no answer. There was no voice. Then they leapt about the altar which they had made, and as soon as it was noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry louder, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping, or he must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves. Notice that. Those who worship pagan gods are violent. They have to cut themselves, jumping up and down and screaming, yelling and shouting. Does that remind you of a certain religious system today? As was their custom, they cut themselves with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them or out of themselves. And when it was midday that it was past, they prophesied until the time of the evening offering. Church, that's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So as they were no doubt exhausted going through all of this, it must have been incredible to watch. And it must have been actually comical too, to see Elijah just probably sitting there looking at his sundial on his wrist, wondering, when are these guys going to come to the end of themselves? This is ridiculous. 1 Kings 18:30 says, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And so they all came near to him, bloody, sweating, tired. And he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the 12 sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, again, Yah. And he made a trench around the altar with large enough to hold 2 shays of seed. So that's a large trench, a moat. He built a moat around the altar of wood that had been knocked down by the frenzy of these false worshipers. Sadly, Israel had been deceived by false gods. So he restores the altar, builds it all up, puts it in order, has a trench built around it. The Bible tells us here that he not only douses the entire sacrifice with water, but so much water that it fills up the trench. Why is that important? Well, notice this, that the challenge to Baal was to consume a dry sacrifice. Elijah says, okay, enough of this. Put my bull on here, my sacrifice, build a trench, pour water all over everything, soak the wood, soak the animal, so much so fill it up with water. Why is he doing this? Because he's sending the message to the pagan worshipers about how big and strong and mighty our God is. It doesn't matter if the sacrifice is wet or dry to our God. It doesn't matter if it's on that mountaintop or here in the valley. It doesn't matter. Because he is the God who is alive. He's real. He doesn't need props. He doesn't need help from men. And this is critical. This is key. And so the Bible tells us in verse 34, he says, do it a second time. and a second time, and then a third time, they filled it and doused the sacrifice with water. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening offering sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, that's Yah or Yahweh, he's God. Yahweh, he is God. And I want you to think about that this morning. Right on that mountain behind me, judgment was exercised by the power of God. Down here on this valley floor, you think about this for a moment. You are looking at an amazing point of Scripture, because false religion will be challenged again. Not by Elijah, but in this valley, I am standing, church. You can hear the stones perhaps beneath my feet. I am in the valley of Jezreel. You say, well, so what? The valley of Jezreel goes by another name. The valley of Armageddon. It's in this valley that the Bible tells us that there will be two opinions again. You see, nothing changes. You in your life, you are divided by two opinions. You either have your opinion shaped by the Word of God, what God has revealed, or your life is governed or shaped by your own opinion. Elijah said to the nation of Israel, how long will you falter, teeter, waver between two opinions? Either God is God or the gods of Babylonianism are your gods. Which one is it? Well, I'm happy to tell you that here I am in the 21st century standing in the place of the Bible. Our faith is founded upon fact. This is not made up. I am standing in the valley of Armageddon. Directly behind you, in front of my face, is the very area where the last battle on earth will take place. In fact, Revelation chapter 19, you can read it later. Revelation 16, you can look at more at that as well, especially verse 16. Revelation 16:16 tells us that it's called Armageddon. And in Revelation chapter 19, the Bible tells us that you and I, who are Christians, we will return. Now watch this. We will return with the Lord Jesus Christ in the second coming, not the rapture, that will have already happened. In the second coming, we will return with Jesus Christ to the Mount of Olives, which is to your left, my right, over the Mount of Olives, to or through the Valley of Jezreel or Armageddon. That's the second coming. Revelation chapter 19. Jesus said, I will come as the lightning comes out of the east and shines unto the west. Church, just for your geography, I want you to check this out. You can see the sun on the side of my face. It is the mid-morning hour here as we gather together. I can literally point, according to my Bible, according to the book of Isaiah, that Jesus Christ in the second coming will come from the region of Basra. He will come out of the east, heading west into Israel. I am looking right now into the rising sun. The sun rising is coming up out of the east, and behind me over those mountains is the Mediterranean Sea. This is the flight path of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in the second coming. If you can get that geography in your mind, it is amazing. He will return from behind your left shoulder, moving toward me in the great second coming, and here's the kicker. You're going to be with him, you and I. You will come to this place. And it's in this spot where Jesus Christ will ultimately, absolutely challenge the two opinions of the world. And that is a tremendous thing. How long will you falter between two opinions? In this spot, judgment fell. The next thing we want to consider about epicenter is what's going to take place here is what people have always thought about as being the final world war. I'd like to call it this way. This is the epicenter where I'm standing of World War Wow. World War Wow will be this. Unlike the Battle of Ezekiel, which, by the way, could take place at any time. I think you guys all know the news and what's happening in this region. It's different than World War Wow, the Battle of Armageddon, because right here, imagine, think about this for a moment. Right here is an invisible war taking place. The Bible tells us in Revelation 16 that demons, spirits, are gathering nations in their opinions. Think about it, in their minds, to gather here to make war with the nations of the earth and the Antichrist initially. But what's going to happen is that the invisible war that's taking place, the nations that are being really positioned, think of the UN and their thinking, think of the UN and their actions, think of the nations of the world, they're bringing them together, the spirits, the demon doctrines of opinions are bringing nations together to this battle place. And that's an amazing thing to think of, because what we want to think about right now is that the lines are being drawn here. In the Valley of Megiddo, in Armageddon, the lines are being drawn for an epic battle. But I want to speak to you for a moment. Every day of your life, the lines are being drawn in your life. Every day, there's an invisible battle taking place regarding opinions, regarding what God wants to do with you, Christian. Now listen, this is amazing. Now, granted, I'm excited because I'm here. I'm standing in it. But for those of you who've never been here, this should actually excite you all the more. We got on a plane and flew 14 hours from Los Angeles to Tel Aviv. We drove 2 hours to this point. Why? Because our Bible is true. In this amazing location, God is speaking not only here, but He's speaking right into your heart there at Chino Hills regarding your opinion. What is your opinion on the Lord? This is serious stuff. So all of a sudden, we see an epicenter on that mountaintop of false religion being confronted. We are now standing in a valley that is the epicenter of nations gathering together. But finally, or thirdly, we're standing here in a place of an epicenter of man's last stand. Well, what do we mean by man's last stand? The governments of the world under demonic influence will come together in Armageddon. It will be man's last chance to govern himself, which, by the way, every time man tries to govern himself, it leads to dominance, tyranny, brutality, dictatorship, world war. But the Antichrist, the leader of many, not all, but many of the world empires at that time, will come to this place because the Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah that he's going to hear about rebellious nations, evil tidings, nations that are not cooperating with his demonic, satanic, one world global agenda. And the Bible tells us, by the way, who they are. The Bible tells us that he's going to hear tidings out of or from the king of the south, and he's going to be hearing rumblings or tidings of evil from the kings of the north. And where will they meet head on? They're going to meet head on right here in this place. What's going to happen? This epicenter that I'm standing in will be man's last chance, his last stand to try to run the world without God. And this is when Jesus Christ intercedes, yes, interrupts man's plan. And I want you to think about a few things right now. What is your opinion of Jesus Christ? What's your opinion of the Bible? I want you to think about it. Listen, can you defend your opinion? You better have good answers. If you say today there's no God, you better have a good reason why you say there is no God. And I would like to kind of be like Elijah now for a moment. Remember on that mountain, he kind of mocked them? He said, maybe your God is sleeping. I want to ask you, in your opinion of this world and why it exists and how things happen, is your God asleep? Has your God ever answered you? Have you wondered why you're living life with the opinion that you have? And you don't have any answers. You can't get in an airplane and go somewhere and stand there and say, hey, you know what? This is my thing. You're without hope, if you think about it. You're without hope in this world, and it shouldn't be that way. You're without a chance if your opinion is siding with the ancient gods of superstitions, of idols. Are you saying today, well, you know what? I'm just going to look to my horoscope, but I'll stay true to that. Babylonianism. You know, my family, they reside from this part of the world, and that's what we worship. We believe in men being deified, and we worship an ancient lineage of people, of royalty. Babylonianism. Well, we believe in various readings of stones or palms or the way things are in nature. Babylonianism. It all comes down to Baal. Baal represents, in the Old Testament, those ancient gods, which today is represented by the chief Babylonian god, the moon god. The moon god today, Allah. It's either Yahweh, the God of the Bible, or another god, a lesser god. What is it? What is your opinion? You say, I'm not a Muslim, I don't worship some other gods. But listen to this. When you read those scriptures, when you follow along with me, isn't it interesting that they all called upon their gods, plural, little g, gods, plural, but they concluded with it being singular, their God, little g. The Bible says Satan is the little god of this world. And you would be offended if I were suggesting to you that if you don't worship Yahweh, the one true God of the Bible, that you're worshiping Satan. But I got news for you. You don't have to worship Satan like you think you need to worship Satan. All you have to do is not worship the God of the Bible, and you're worshiping Satan. You would say today, I'm not going to bow to some mean and ugly and worship some horrible demon thing. He doesn't care how you miss the mark as long as you miss it. You need to be born again, Jesus said. You need to have a new life of the Spirit of God that came down on that mountaintop and consumed the altar and the sacrifice. That same Holy Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, is the God that dwells in the hearts of every true believer. So you not only live in this world without hope, that's why you bounce around from every kind of thing going on. You not only have you don't have a foot to stand on. And you know what's so sad about that? Without the God of the Bible, we hear Elijah pray. The prayer is answered. 850 prophets total, 450 prophets of Baal prayed, no answer. You are in this world without a prayer. Did you know that? Without a prayer, I'm standing right here in history past. I'm standing right here, right now, in the present, and the future is going to be unfolded in this valley, you guys. In this amazing place, it is so, it's beautiful. Let me tell you, it's beautiful. You can see how beautiful it is. It's somewhat quiet in a way. I mean, here we are in this, we're on a roadway between two wheat fields. There's a forest behind me. Mount Carmel is behind me. But what's amazing to me, in this fertile, beautiful valley, the Valley of Jezreel, the Valley of Armageddon, you would think by looking around, this is the last place on earth that the Bible describes this horrific battle. And yet, I got to tell you, just over my right shoulder is an intersection that I've talked to you guys before about. It's an intersection of two roadways. It's seemingly unnoticeable. It seems to be without any significance. But I tell you, God is so great. My friend, listen to this. Through that region, through this intersection, the ancient trade routes of the ancient world, if you wanted to go to Egypt from the north, you had to go through that intersection. If you had to go, if you wanted to go from North Africa, Central or South Africa, if you wanted to go to Europe, you had to go through this intersection. But if you changed your mind right in the middle of that intersection and you say, you know what we want to do? We want to go to the Orient. Can you imagine? We want to go to the Orient. You just go right past this road. On this road, you go to the Orient. If you say, well, you know what? We changed our mind and we want to go to Europe. We want to go to London. Can you imagine? We want to go to Madrid. We want to go where my native roots are. My family dates back to Portugal. We want to go to Portugal. That's directly behind me, over those mountains, across the Mediterranean. But you would go to Turkey. You'd go through that region of Turkey. You would go into what was once Eastern Europe. You would go now through what is the Bible calls Asia Minor. You would go into Germany and Austria, France. Isn't that amazing? It's all right here. This is the focal point of the world. The trade route of the world. This is the location. So imagine for a moment, what a great place to consider your opinion. Is it all about marketing? Well, here's your place. Is it about making money? Well, which direction do you want to go make it? Do you want to worship gods? This is the place. Do you want to find the one true God? This is his land. What an amazing moment you and I are in right here, right now. And so as you consider that, Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He challenged Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, Nicodemus, unless a man is born of water and born of spirit, he will never see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? And Jesus, like Elijah, and what I'm trying to do right now is be a little sarcastic with reverence to God to provoke you to think. Jesus said, how can you be the great teacher of Israel, not know this? How can you not know this, my friend? The 21st century, how can you not know this? You know this down deep inside. My faith, your faith, is founded upon fact. I'm standing in it right now. The Word of God, I'm standing in what it says. I can pick up my Bible and read it. I can jump in an airplane and live it. I can see it. My opinion is this. Jesus Christ is Lord, God, Savior of the world, says the Bible. Elijah, the Bible says, challenged the gods and the people of the ancient gods. The Bible says before the second coming of Christ, guess who's going to return to the nation of Israel? He's going to appear, the Bible says. Elijah. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Elijah will appear again and announce as the forerunner, the Messiah is near. That, my friend, happens. Listen, that happens after the rapture, but before the second coming. In the rapture, if it's soon, you and I will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. We'll be with the Lord. This valley will be filled with blood and warfare. Armageddon. Nations will falter between two opinions. Is the Antichrist God? Or is the Lord, is he God? And the Bible says that when Christ returns, in the brightness of his return, the sun will flee in his presence. That word means that the sun will be so overshadowed by the coming of Christ in his glory that the brilliance of the sun will look dim compared to the return of Christ. Is that amazing? Right here. So my friend, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want to ask you this morning, what in the world are you waiting for? What opinion are you leaning on? All through life, you and I have had our own opinions. All through life, we've based decisions off of our opinions, haven't we? I'm asking you today to change your opinion. To believe in Him and Him alone, who died on the cross, Jesus Christ, for your sins and mine, who rose again from the grave. And that tomb was found empty on that Sunday morning that in several weeks from now we're going to be celebrating. We know what we believe in. Our opinion is fixed upon Him, not upon some man or system. Listen, it's not on America. It's not on our government. It's not in Sacramento. It's not in Chino Hills. Our opinion has been decided. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the decision today that I want you to make. You want to pray that right now with me? I pray that you do. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, it's amazing to realize. I know that, Lord, you are near us wherever we're at in the world. But there's an amazing feeling in this land of this prayer being a local call to heaven. But in your awesomeness, God, you're listening to the hearts of those in Chino Hills and those right here, right now in Megiddo. As you were listening, Father, so long ago atop Mount Carmel, you listened to the silence, as it were, of those that cried out in ignorance of you. And you listened to their cry to an unknown, non-existent, unknowable God. And you didn't answer them because there's no answer to give them. And then your prophet Elijah cried. And so powerful was your response to that prayer that that mountaintop, from this vantage point, your fire fell from heaven. And Father, I'm asking you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, that the fire of the Spirit of God would fall from heaven right now, not upon a mountaintop, not upon a valley, and not upon Chino Hills, but right now upon or in every heart that's listening to this message right now. And there would be some of you right now in the sanctuary saying, Lord, I don't want to trip up anymore. I don't want to stutter. I don't want to falter between two opinions. I am today going to declare the Lord, He is God. Tell Him right now, right where you're at, God, I now declare the Lord, you, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, my God. Tell Him that now, my friend, because Jesus died for you on the cross. He's the sacrifice. He was represented in that sacrifice on that mountaintop behind me, on the altar of wood, consumed by the judgment fire of God. Jesus was in that place, as it were, for you and I. Well, if you prayed that prayer today, at the end of this song, we want you to come on up and get the Start Bible. It has a great material in there on how to begin your new walk with Jesus Christ. And there'll be people there up front at the altar right here to pray with you, to welcome you to the family of God. We want to see you back together on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock as we go through the Word together. It's going to be a tremendous time. Trust me, I know there's a bunch of stuff going on, but nothing is going to beat Wednesday night because it's spiritual. Come. And then next Sunday, we'll get together in the Word of God again. Bring a friend. But stay close to Jesus like never before. The hour is late. It is amazing. And we're going to be speaking to you from a spot you're not going to want to miss. It is absolutely, in fact, you're probably going to hear this a lot, but it's my favorite spot. And then I started thinking, well, before I tell them it's my favorite spot, I think this is my favorite spot. But then Galilee's my favorite spot. But then Jerusalem's my favorite spot. This is the land of God. Just be here next week together, next Sunday. Watch what happens. God bless you guys. From Israel, shalom. We'll see you soon.